Rainmaker FM.
This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready?
All righty, and welcome back to The Showrunner. This is episode number 93. I am your host, Jared Morris, VP of Marketing for Rainmaker Digital, and I will be joined momentarily, as I always am, by my unabashedly gloating co-host, Johnny Naster, the host of Hack the Entrepreneur. The Showrunner is brought to you by the all-new StudioPress Sites, a turnkey solution that combines the ease of an all-in-one website builder with the flexible power of WordPress. It's perfect for bloggers, affiliate marketers, and podcasters, as well as those selling physical products, digital downloads, and membership programs. If you're ready to take your WordPress site to the next level, see for yourself why over 200,000 website owners trust StudioPress. Go to rainmaker.fm/studiopress right now. That's rainmaker.fm/studiopress. Now, Johnny, you and I were just having an extremely, extremely interesting conversation here before we hit record, and I would love for you to relay that to the listeners, and it harkens back to last week's discussion about what the term gamer means. Is this more about video games, or, as I suggested, is this more of a sports term, you know, for someone who maybe plays injured or, you know, comes up big in tough moments? They're a gamer. Obviously, the responses that we had on Twitter, you won, and it was unanimous. I think part of that is the audience, but either way, I should know my audience. And so
exactly.
I lost there. However, were we to use, say, I don't know, the dictionary as an objective arbiter of this debate, I wonder what it might have suggested.
Interesting. So our audience is smart, and they know what a gamer is. But it was very cool of you. We asked to do a poll sort of on Twitter, and we got some great feedback, and it is a video gamer. But today I was being like just extra confident, overconfident perhaps, and I was going to make a funny remark back to someone on Twitter in regards to Jared, and I just Googled the definition, and I was going to copy and paste it in for him. But the dictionary, the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, actually puts the first definition as a player who is a game, especially an athlete who relishes competition. And then two is a person who plays games, especially a person who regularly plays computer or video games. But now when I Google it, it actually comes up with the top thing at the top, and it says gamer, noun, a person who plays video games or participates in role-playing games. And then two is North American, especially in sports, a person known for consistently making a strong effort. So it's really back and forth. Our audience, the smartest audience, I believe, in the podcasting universe, fully unanimously agree that gamer is video gamer. So I am gloating, but also the dictionary. Who even reads dictionaries anymore?
I mean,
what is this?
Now, I would just say what this shows is the reasonableness of why this became a discussion point, because there were there were valid arguments on both sides, and so we appreciate all of you participating. John appreciates your participation more than I do. But it was a fun discussion to have. All right, so Johnny, are you ready to hop in and talk about today's topic? I'm excited about this one. So we're going to talk about learning. And I actually, you know, an hour before recording this, I just got done putting some slides together for a webinar that I'm preparing for Digital Commerce Academy. And this is what kind of spurred the idea for this episode. And my guest on this webinar in Digital Commerce Academy is Peter C. Brown, who was the lead author of the book Make It Stick, The Science of Successful Learning, along with Henry Roediger and Mark McDaniel. And this is a book that takes a lot of emerging research on how we actually learn and puts it into stories and explanations that we can all actually put into our real lives. And some of the advice is counterintuitive. Some of it differs from maybe what we've been told or what we think actually works. This really gets down to, here's what the data says actually works when it comes to learning. Because, you know, we can all read a book, right, and look through a book, and so we tried to learn, right? But did we actually retain the information? And what strategies will actually help us learn more? Not just go through the motions, but actually gain knowledge and gain skills that we can use in our daily lives, which is the whole benefit of learning. And so in preparing this presentation with Peter, he talked about three big ideas of learning, and this is how we are going to begin the webinar. And so I just want to talk about them here on the podcast because I think they are very applicable in two ways. The first way is obviously as showrunners, we have to bring information to our audience. We have to bring knowledge and expertise of some kind. How do we gain that? That means that we have to be out there learning. And so these are all techniques that we can use to make sure that we are learning effectively and using our time efficiently. And secondly, if we have a show, most of us are trying to teach our audience something. So how do we effectively put out our information so that people can learn it effectively? So I think on both of these levels, the content that we talk about today will work and be helpful. So I'm excited to hop into it.
Yeah, I am too. This is cool. This has been just, as we're, I guess, getting known to do, this has just been sprung on me, the topic, at the last minute. So it's cool to get to sort of get an idea into this. Three big ideas about learning. All right, yeah. Let's do it.
It's all right, man. You're a gamer. You're ready for that kind of podcast competition, so I know that you'll be ready for this episode. all right, so here we go. Let's talk. So let's run down these three big ideas. And the first big idea is learning works by getting it out, not in. And this is one of the more counterintuitive, I think, ideas that Peter talks about. Idea number two is that difficulty is desirable. And idea number three is that a growth mindset motivates. So let's go through these one by one. And let's start at the top with learning works by getting it out, not in. So we often think that the example I just used, right? Like reading a book. Like, for example, I read this book, Make It Stick. Now, did the learning actually happen while I read that book, or did the learning actually happen after reading the book when I had to retrieve the information, right? And there were many times when I needed to retrieve the information on the initial call that I had with Peter, when I was going down getting the slides. Right now, as I'm talking about this, when did the learning actually happen? And I'd be curious, John, just to get your first instinct, like when did the actual learning take place? Was it when I read the book or in all the time since when I have re-engaged with the ideas?
Is it either or? Is it black and white?
I mean, it's a bit of a trick question because obviously you have to take in the information at first. But what the research shows is that for the learning to actually turn into something that you can use and that really embeds itself in your memory and something, again, that becomes useful to you later, it's all about the retrieval that comes later. So maybe through a quiz, maybe through talking about it and trying to teach it to someone else, maybe through preparing a webinar where you're going to be teaching this information. That act of retrieval of the information is where you're actually, you know, building the new neural pathways in the brain, and it's attaching itself to other parts, you know, to other contexts within your mind. And that's where you can actually now use the information and you've really learned it. Because otherwise, I would have read this book, but the information, I mean, unless I just have a photographic memory, I guess, the information would soon kind of fade and I wouldn't have really learned anything. But through this active retrieval and through actually interacting with the information, I have actually embedded it in my memory and am able to use it in useful ways. That's the basic point, explained by Peter much more elegantly than I just did. But that's the main idea.
So learning is active rather than passive.
Yes. And it is about retrieval rather than just ingestion. So there are lots of studies that they did, for example, actually, let me pull one up right now because I can probably describe this better.
Ingestion in this sense would be passive, right?
Yeah. So for example, right, in one study, they had people learn a 50-word list over 8 trials. All right. So four people, for one set of people, it was 4 study sessions and then 4 sessions of retrieval, like quizzing or flashcards, that kind of thing. For the second one, it was 6 study sessions and 2 sessions of retrieval. And then For the other one, it was 8 study sessions and then no retrieval. So it was just like looking at the list and kind of studying the list. And what they found was that 48 hours later, the people who actually practiced, the people who had the 4 sessions of retrieval, it actually stuck better. And they remembered the words in that list more. And the recall probability was actually 39% for the people who had the 4 sessions of retrieval and the 4 study sessions, 25% for the people who had the 2 retrieval sessions and the 6 study sessions, and 17% for the people who had no retrieval sessions and 8 study sessions. So again, with the idea being that you can actually recall more later, use this information more later, if you have, and again, one of the other concepts here is kind of interspersing it. So it's not just like study it and then all this retrieval, but it's maybe study it, retrieval, study, retrieval, study, retrieval, interspersing it, mixing it up, encountering the information in different ways helps to solidify it in your mind, helps you to recall it, and helps you to be able to use it in a more meaningful way.
Right. So this can be like empowering for us as showrunners, us as like content creators, I would think. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jared, but if we go back to sort of choosing your character and like the adventurer, right? The adventurer is how I see you and I for the showrunner is we just need to be a step or two sort of ahead of our audience and trying to figure stuff out by actively trying sort of what we take in as information. And then by having to sort of digest this and put it into like a framework to then teach out in the show, we actually like, we learn more from it. And we that keeps us further ahead, which allows us to be that adventurers to go out into the podcasting world, figure stuff out, try it, and then sort of ingest it, but also figure out how do I turn this into an educational thing for our audience, which benefits us and the audience at the same time.
Absolutely.
So it's this act, right?
Yeah,
so totally. It's not like you have to be an expert. It's just thinking of teaching in not in the sense that you are like a doctorate in podcasting. You are just barely in front of maybe your audience, but it's the act of working to teach it properly, I think, that allows us to actually learn more about the subject.
Yep. Teaching is learning in a sense. Like by teaching, we're solidifying more.
Yeah. It takes me like 8 minutes to say it. You're like, teaching is learning. I'm like, yeah, that would have been an easier way to say it. But
okay, but remember, I've been working with this information a lot longer, you know? And so, you know, so that's why it's maybe a little bit more clear in my head. Whereas, you know, right when I read the book, that wasn't the case. And the other thing to remember here is, and maybe this is something that we want to think about doing with the showrunner. I mean, you know, how do we then work with our audience? It's like we just did an episode last week and an episode before that. How do we recall some of those concepts and bring them back? You know, could we do like a pop quiz at the beginning of every episode, asking people questions about last week's episode? Because now if we ask them those questions, they're going to kind of have to go back and, you know, think back a little bit, you know, and re-engage with that information. We could do it after the episode. Like there are different ways, maybe in the weekly emails, you know, so there may be different ways that we could actively encourage retrieval. And I haven't thought of any. It's not like we haven't even prepared for this episode. But that's the other thing to kind of think about is how these concepts that you're teaching, you know, how can you help encourage your audience to encounter them more, to try and retrieve them in their own mind, to help them sink in a little bit more? Because that's where a lot of the learning happens.
Absolutely. To play the other side of it, we have to stay focused on our audience, and not on ourselves and what we want for our audience and impose that upon them necessarily.
Yes.
Lots of people, myself included, I think sometimes, even though I'm listening to a quote unquote educational podcast or topic or something I'm into when I'm walking my dog, sometimes I just want passive listening. I just want to kind of be entertained. Even if it's sort of a deep topic, it's kind of just like, I don't want to be quizzed. I don't want to have to, you know what I mean? Sometimes you just, it's like wanting to just sit down and watch Netflix. Yes, it's completely passive and I'm not learning. Even if I'm watching a science show, it's like, I'm not really learning because you just said, and it makes sense because we're not trying to retrieve that. But it feels like, well, at least I'm not watching trash, but I'm not trying to actually learn to like be quizzed on it, right? So we do have to. So if we're in an education sequence, if somebody buys a course from us, we want to make sure they're engaging and retrieving. But sometimes we have to be aware of the fact that some people out there just want to listen passively.
So
that's cool.
That's a great point. So think about this. What if in the weekly email you hearken back to the previous week's episode and asked a few questions? Just say, hey, want to take the quiz on last week's episode or something? Make it an option for people.
But, that's cool.
You know, if you've explained, you know, the whole idea, now again, they would have to understand this premise of, you know, what we're talking about right now with learning to be motivated, but that is part of it. We won't get into it in this episode. But, you know, teaching your audience, it kind of goes in with the growth mindset, actually, which we'll get to here in a minute. But the other thing is, too, is that, and this leads us into number two, difficulty is desirable. So the more that we struggle with information, the more that we struggle to learn, the more that it actually sinks in, and the more that it embeds itself, which is, of course, the goal, right? And a lot of times, we naturally will recoil from that difficulty. You know, if the topic feels like it's a little bit beyond us, it's like, well, I'm not ready for this yet. I'm not going to learn it. But one of the things that research has shown is that when you really struggle through learning something, it is really going to help you. That difficulty is good. So one example is actually, like, let's say that you're getting ready to go to a training seminar for how to put together a dishwasher. I don't know why that example popped into my head, but it just popped into my head, right? Do you have any experience with putting together dishwashers? I don't. I don't know the first thing.
No, you're right. This is totally random.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know the first thing about putting together a dishwasher, right? So I would have zero context. Like if I went to a seminar and putting together a dishwasher, I would be totally lost. But imagine if before doing that, I took apart my dishwasher at home. Right now, I would really struggle through this, and I wouldn't know what I'm doing, and it would be ridiculous, and my wife would probably hate me because then we wouldn't be able to wash dishes, and I'm sure.
And now you're leaving for the weekend to go to a seminar about it.
Yeah, exactly. So, of course, I would learn something very important there, which is never take the dishwasher apart again. But imagine now when I go to the seminar, how much more ready to learn I will actually be, because I'll understand a little bit more of the context. And so I've struggled with this really difficult part, but it starts to get a little bit easier. And so this difficulty is actually desirable and will help the information really sink in. And if we embrace that difficulty, and part of the way that we embrace it is understanding this growth mindset, which we'll talk about. But if we embrace that difficulty, it's the same thing that with what you were just explaining. You know, trying to be a step or two ahead of your audience, go a little bit outside of your comfort zone, learn something that you don't know, even try and explain something that you're not 100% sure of, kind of like I'm doing right now on this podcast. But that difficulty, again, you can't go on a show that your audience is expecting you to say something reasonable and just totally fumble around with it. But that difficulty for you, especially while learning, is actually going to be helpful, and it's going to be better in the long run. So that difficulty is something to walk toward, not to avoid, is the main point.
And it's totally verified within my head as you're saying this, because these episodes where we just make like 3 points and now let's do a half hour and we really sort of work through it live, these are the ones that stick with me.
Yeah.
These are the ones that totally like change some sort of way I think, and then I take it other places in my day-to-day, which is interesting. Not like, well, there's our 12 points already completely written out, let's read it off. And it's kind of like, what was last week's topic? I can't remember it, but the ones we do this, it's there it is. Like, because it's true. We used to really avoid these because of the difficulty. These ones now are just like, oh, let's do it. And it's either half hour, it's going to be good, or we'll just trash it. But
yeah. And this isn't to say that you should use your show as just a place where you're only thinking about your own education so that you're fumbling through explanations. Again, you've got to come to it with something and something meaningful. In this case, you know, I feel comfortable enough explaining this information to explain it in a way that people will get something out of it. And I know through your experience that just with the context that I'll explain, you'll have interesting points to make. And that's obviously important as you're planning your show. But again, that point is, you know, this difficulty can actually be helpful in you learning something. And it works the same way, like if you're actually learning something physically too. So take like if you want to be a better putter, right? Like if you go out and you want to improve your putting from 20 feet out, you know, there's a school of thought that says, well, just, you know, take out 200 putts, or like with basketball, with free throw shooting. You want to become a better free throw shooter? Take 100 free throws in a row, right? And I guess you can learn a little bit from that, but what's actually better is mixing it up. And that's harder because you can get in a real rhythm, especially shooting free throws, just one after the other. And you kind of, you feel like you're locking it into that muscle memory. But what actually helps you do that more is to space it out, what's called interleaving, right? So instead of just taking 120 foot putts over and over again, take 10 from 20 feet, then go to 30 feet, and then go to 10 feet, and move it around, and go to some different angles. And mixing it up will actually help more in the long run. It'll be a little bit more uncomfortable while you're doing it, but that difficulty will help you actually learn the skill and the underlying concept more than just, hey, in this moment, I've really practiced this and I've got the feeling down. You know, same thing with like memorizing a long string. You know, you can cram like 10 minutes before and just really try to memorize this thing and then regurgitate it out on a piece of paper, but have you learned it? That's the key. Have you learned it in a way that you can actually use it? And that's what we're talking about here, is how to do that with information. Or skills, because it applies to both. And again, we are really buzzing over the surface of this, but I highly recommend the book, Make It Stick. You just search for Make It Stick anywhere that books are available. It is a book that in many ways can transform how you think about learning, because so much of what they talk about in there is counterintuitive to what we think and what we've been told.
From dishwashers to golf to basketball, back to golf. I don't know where we're going to go with point three, but I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Hey,
the analogies that are being used right now they're fascinating.
I do want to remind everybody to go to Studio Press Sites also and check it out. I mean, if you're a podcaster and you're looking to build your platform, or maybe you're looking to change where your platform is hosted, I really think that you should give Studio Press Sites a try. As I mentioned at the beginning, it is a turnkey solution. I mean, it's fully hosted. You know, your security stuff is all taken care of. All of that is taken care of, along with all the design options that you get, and then the preferred plugins that are suggested there for you. It really is a neat solution for anybody who's building a website, but especially podcasters. And so if you go to rainmaker.fm/studiopress, you can see the two different plans that are available. Look at those two different plans, see which one is right for you, and then give it a try. You're not locked into anything, nothing like that, but you can give it a try, see if it's the right fit for you. And for a lot of people, it has proven to be. So I did want to make one more mention of that. And you can do that at rainmaker.fm/studiopress. That is rainmaker.fm/studiopress. So, Johnny, you are familiar, I am certain, and many of our listeners are certainly familiar with Carol Dweck's work on the growth versus the fixed mindset, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
So this is where this third element comes from, right? A growth mindset motivates. Why does a growth mindset motivate? Well, if we have a growth mindset, and maybe we should summarize real quick the difference between a growth and a fixed mindset. So a fixed mindset is essentially where you kind of think that your skills are fixed and aren't really going to grow or develop with work. A growth mindset, someone with a growth mindset really understands that they get out what they put in, and that, you know, whatever they've achieved, whatever kind of success they have had, it isn't just because of something that they are naturally born with or naturally have. It's because they've really worked to develop this, that, or the other skill. And the reason why a growth mindset motivates is it gives us the belief that our actions, you know, what we study, what we work at, we can really improve. And obviously, we are going to be more motivated to do something that we think we're going to get a return on the investment that we're putting in. So if we feel like our intelligence is fixed and we're just kind of as smart as we are, and this is hard, we're not really going to struggle with it because we kind of think, all right, well, maybe this isn't something that I can learn. Someone with a growth mindset understands the value of that work, the impact that work can have, and believes that they will benefit from it and become better from it down the road. And you can see how that first mindset is going to be less likely to stick with and struggle with information or work or a new skill, whereas the growth mindset really would be willing to. And that has been proven time and time again to be much more effective when it comes to learning and growth. So that's the basic idea there. I bumbled through it a little bit, but pretty fair description, contrast between the two?
Yeah, I think it's totally. I honestly, I have such a hard time getting my mind around like the fixed mindset and how somebody could have that mindset. Like, yeah. You honestly believe that every trait and skill and sort of intelligence level that you have from a young age is just that those innate things are just that's all you get.
And it's like anything, it's a scale, you know, like there's growth on one side, fixed on the other side. It's not like everybody is black or white in one category or the other. And it probably shifts for some people depending on what it is, too. You know, some people may have a growth mindset when it comes to intellectual work, but they don't have a growth mindset when it comes to physical fitness, you know, just because of their maybe experience or how they were raised or for any number of different reasons. So it can depend. But I think specifically when it comes to, you know, learning, a growth mindset in a particular skill is probably important to say is going to motivate someone to do the hard, sometimes dirty work that it takes to improve in that skill. And that's important.
Yeah. It is, because I can't think of any skill sort of worth learning or getting or like mastering, if you will, that wouldn't take a lot of hard work. Difficult work too, right? The stuff that's hard and could be embarrassing when you're no good at it, but you got to kind of work through all that stuff. Our whole like you have that certain amount of bad radio in you as a podcaster, all that stuff. You have to have the mindset that you can push through that stuff. I mean, you can go back to the beginning of any of our podcasting careers and have absolute proof that this is true. Because yeah, I wouldn't even want to listen to that stuff now, I'm sure, from years and years ago of me finally sitting down to like record in front of a microphone. But it's proof that it can, and it is motivating, because it basically, if you want to do this, if you want to build that show or build that audience, all those things are attainable to you if you do enough work and you stop just passively trying to learn these things and actually switch to actively and then take directly on to the difficulty.
And here's another quote from Carol Dweck herself that kind of sums up the difference too. She says, those with the growth mindset found setbacks motivating. Not only weren't they discouraged by failure, they didn't even think they were failing. They thought they were learning. And that I think is the other distinction, because someone with a fixed mindset is going to look at, you know, a mistake as a failure. Like, I messed up, right? Like, okay, I'm supposed to be smart and I didn't get this. I failed. And this somehow impacts like my personal view of myself, my self-identity. Whereas someone who has a growth mindset, they're just thinking, hey, I'm constantly evolving. I'm constantly changing and improving. So, okay, I messed this up. That's just, you know, okay, but this is moving me toward learning. This is moving me towards success. So it's not even a failure. If anything, it's a temporary failure, but it's, you know, a means toward a greater end. And they take that with a different attitude. And that's almost the difference between these two, is the attitude with which you approach that inevitable failure when you're learning something new, which brings us back to the difficulty being desirable. And then again, takes us all the way back to the first big idea about learning, which is that the learning isn't about that first step. It's not about the ingestion in. It's not about your coach telling you, here's how to swing a golf club, and you've just taken that in. It's about the actual getting it out and swing after swing after swing, and swings in different locations, you know, swings in, you know, all different ways that you can then retrieve that information. That's where it starts to get locked in. And so when you have all three of these together, this understanding of the importance of retrieval, a recognition of the desirability of difficulty, and then a growth mindset underlying it all, this is where you can really unlock the power of learning. And that's not just me saying it. It's not just, you know, Peter Brown and these authors coming up with theories. This is actually data-backed research and advice that just works. And to me, it does make sense. Like, once you actually read it and lay it out, it does make intuitive sense, but it does fly in the face a little bit of what we might think intuitively and in some ways what we've been told about learning.
Very cool.
Anything else to add before we close up shop?
I don't think so. I think we kind of nailed it. Not like nailed it as in like we're awesome.
Well, okay.
I mean, nailed the topic. I think it's good. I think it's got me thinking. It's cool. We're really covering topics of like thought and spending time thinking and now learning. It's cool.
Yes. So if you do want to kind of have fun with this idea, send us a tweet. Don't rewind. Don't do anything like that. But send us a tweet and let us know the three big ideas. Can you recall them? See if you can retrieve them real quick. What were the three ideas that we just talked about? We're not going to make this. We're not going to make these post episode pop quizzes a recurring thing here on the episode. But it would be really interesting to know, and maybe just a good test for yourself for how much listening through this episode you can retain. But again, the learning is about getting it out, not just getting it in. So let's give you an opportunity to do that. Send us a tweet at Jared Morris, at John Naster. Let us know what the three big ideas were about learning. Hashtag gamer. Put that on there. Because if you do this, you're a gamer. You're down for the challenge of competition. And you understand that the difficulty... I'm about to give one of them away. All right. Let's get out of here before I give all three of them away.
Yeah.
And we render the quiz useless.
Been fun.
So one other thing that we do want to make mention is that we have a really great report for you and a really cool series of emails that we think will help you. And this is really geared toward people who are thinking about launching a podcast. I do think that there is something useful there for people if you're a little bit more experienced, but we have gotten some feedback from people, frankly, that it's not as great a fit for people who maybe are a little bit more experienced, a little bit further down the road in your podcasting. And so that's okay. We wanted to be, you know, transparent about that just because that's some of the feedback that we're getting. But if you're in the process of, say, defining your audience, or you're not even familiar yet with what the different paths to monetization are for a podcast, you're looking to get equipment, kind of some basic equipment to get started, then this really will be for you. And if you go to sherwinner.fm/report, you will get the free 9-step beginner's guide to launching a podcast, along with a great series of emails that ask you some other important questions that you should be asking yourself as you go through the process of launching a podcast. So again, go to sherwinner.fm/report, and don't ever forget to turn your phones on mute before you start recording a podcast. I don't know if you could hear that, but my phone just went off.
I didn't hear it.
Oh, well, then I shouldn't have said anything. Edit that out, Toby. Edit me out.
All the way back to the beginning, Toby.
Yeah. All right. We will talk to you next week on another brand new episode of The Showrunner.
Take care.